A speech bubble, filled with a stylized flower, precedes the words, Magnolia Pictures. Block letters spell out, Evergreen Pictures. Different scenes play in each of the letters. A hand with a big ring and a fancy gold watch, an ornately decorated throne with gold finishings. The lower bodies of a woman sitting on a man's lap. A photographer takes a picture. The man fondly grins at his wife as she smiles ahead to the camera. She leans on the arm of the throne and touches her husband's shoulder. The photographer continues to snap shots as they pose.
Wanna do one on his lap?
She's in the forefront on his lap. He shrinks in the seat behind her and grimaces.
Oh, I'm in pain.
Is this Santa Claus?
I'm in pain. We've been doing this for 4 hours.
Three hours.
The woman continues to pose as the photographer snaps more shots. On the wall, there's a painting of the couple and a picture of their large family. The woman spins in a long sparkly gown. A number of framed newspaper articles hang on the wall, highlighting the couple and their success. In the back of a boat, the woman is helped in, wearing a fancy fur coat. A water skier trails behind as the boat speeds through the water. On a private plane, the couple flies with their family. Two of their young daughters carefully step down from the plane, onto the tarmac. The couple share a kiss. At home, framed glamour shots of the woman decorate the walls. She stands beside her husband's throne.
My husband, when I get married to him, all I wanted was love from him. And he always said, trust me. And I put my trust into him. So, we'll see what happens.
They kiss.
Beside
an elegant black and white photo of the woman, a title appears in graceful white letters, The Queen of Versailles. The man drives with his family in a big SUV. A baby cries in the backseat as the woman talks on her phone.
In the breakfast room, the lock, if you pull on it, it comes out. But I'll be there in 2 minutes, so I'll show when I come in.
God damn, my house is falling apart.
You
don't care
what I do.
I said I don't care what you think.
We're home.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
It's always nice to be home.
And no place like your own bed.
Through these hollow gates.
They drive through gates and up to a mansion.
Mrs. Florida, 93.
A woman in a pink top brings their baby inside.
Aw, look at her. She's worn out. Look at me, I gotta come home in my socks. Because my children took my shoes.
The woman sits for an interview with a little fluffy dog in her lap.
My name is Jacqueline Siegel. I am in Orlando, Florida. I'm a 43-year-old mother of eight. I am from Binghamton, New York. I'm not a city girl. I'm a small town girl.
In his throne.
Tell me when you're ready. My name is David Siegel. I'm 74 years old. I am the founder, president, CEO of Westgate Resorts, the largest privately owned timeshare company in the world.
When I grew up in Binghamton, New York, pretty much the only place to work and make money was IBM. And I figured I could either be a secretary and work for an engineer, or I could be an engineer. So I got my computer engineering degree, and then I worked at IBM. I had this little cubicle, but there's hundreds of other people, engineers in their own cubicles. And then I came into the office early one day, and I asked my manager, which project are you working on? He says, I wrote my own program to count down the years, days, months, weeks, minutes, down to the second of when I retire. And I said, well, why would you do that? He said, because that's when I'm going to start living my life. And I said, wow. I put in my resignation. I was out of there in a week. packed my bags and I moved to New York City and started modeling.
A model photo shoot.
Then I met a man on Wall Street. I got married. He moved me to the Everglades.
Vintage footage of Jacqueline.
And while I was down there, I saw an ad in the newspaper to win Mrs. Florida. I entered it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you your brand new Mrs. Florida. Here is Jacqueline Solomon.
And then I ended up getting a divorce. And I met my current husband through Mrs. World.
Mrs. Florida, 95, invited me to her husband's 40th birthday party. And being a bachelor that had just gotten out of a 27-year marriage, first person I saw was Jackie, and I was smitten. I thought she was the most beautiful girl in the world.
It took me a while to fall in love with him. It just really felt wonderful to be so adored. That's what attracted me. There's 30 years between us. I tell you, he doesn't need Viagra. But there, at least there is that option if he does. Like, I don't know if 10 years from now, but at least there's that option.
A bedroom.
It's show and tell day, so I gotta get them to school.
They kiss. She leads two of their girls out.
All right, let's hurry. Come on. Let's go this way so China doesn't bite us.
Bye. Have a nice day. Can't see what she sees in me, but we have a great relationship. What she lacks in being a housekeeper, she makes up, and she loves people, has more friends. She's a big extrovert, but a good person, good heart, and a good mother.
A woman gives two kids a bath in a jacuzzi tub. The large marble bathroom has two pillars carved in the shape of women. Jacqueline enters.
Oh, look at the doggies eating the cockroach.
Her little dog paws at a cockroach on the floor.
I grew up in a one-bathroom, three-bedroom house, and I can remember I would have to wait in line to use the bathroom. In this house, we have, I think, 17 bathrooms. In our new house, we have 30 bathrooms. So you won't have to keep your legs crossed very long. The reason why we really want the bigger home, for one thing, I think my husband deserves it. I think it'd be like a lifetime achievement. I think he's worked so hard. And even though this house, which is 26,000 square feet, is so big, we're bursting out of the seams.
Jacqueline walks outside.
Bye, girl. I'm gonna go look at our new house, okay?
An aerial view of a neighborhood reveals rows of mansions and lavish properties. At the end of a long road is the biggest of them all. Jacqueline gives a tour of the unfinished home to a friend.
Look at this thing. Oh my God.
We went to France and we saw Versailles, and we were inspired by the French architecture.
I drew it on the back of an envelope on my way to Las Vegas. In Las Vegas, we looked out our window and we kind of copied the top three floors of the Paris Hotel. Probably should have used smaller envelopes because it turned out to be the largest home in America.
We never sought out to build the biggest house in America. It's just, it's like kind of happened.
This is so beautiful.
This is our grand ballroom. We have the grand staircase on each end.
Mm-hmm. It's a palace. Can you imagine like the dances and the parties?
I said, well, I'd like to have a bowling alley. And then he says, I want a health spa. And then I said, we need maids quarters. I forgot how many kitchens, 10 kitchens. We have a sushi bar.
Two tennis courts, one will be a stadium court. Full-size baseball field, which will double as the parking lot when we have parties.
But this is our ice skating / roller rink.
The children have their own wing. They have their playroom with a stage where they can perform and do their little whatever they do.
Okay, this is the staircase that I would come up if I was going to visit the children.
We wanted to put everything that we could dream of in this home.
And we're gonna have like an orchestra up here for black tie affairs.
The house will be filled with Louis the 14th type antique furniture.
That's our observation deck. Every night we go up there to watch the Disney fireworks. So by the time we both got what we wanted, now it's 90,000 square feet.
Jackie, is this your room?
No, that's not my room.
Where's your room?
That's my closet.
No way. No way. Where's David's closet?
Oh, that's his closet.
This is
my husband's closet.
Okay, this is it.
Laughter.
My husband filled the garage up with our marble from China. Like, this is what $5 million worth of marble looks like. I gotta go kiss my dog.
They visit a grave site.
My husband knew how special Chanel was to me, so he had her stuffed for me, and now she's upstairs. And this one, a staff member ran over him in the driveway, but now he's on my piano.
A white pelt on a piano.
So you ask me why I'm building the largest home in America? My answer is because I could.
You mentioned being a kingmaker and having a big role in the 2000 election.
I sure did. I got George W. elected president. Personally got him elected president.
It is nice to be here with so many good folks from the great state of Florida.
Businessman David Siegel says America owes a lot to him.
I think we are responsible for George Bush becoming president.
Now, had I not stuck my big nose into it, there probably wouldn't have been an Iraqi war, and maybe we might have been better off, I don't know.
Interviewer.
How were you personally responsible for the re-election of George Bush?
I rather not say it, because it may not necessarily have been legal.
Jacqueline and her friend, back at the new house.
Jackie, imagine falling down these stairs.
Here she is, Miss America.
This is so pretty. This is like the nicest, grandest house in all of the United States, right here.
David on his throne.
What I have today is what I worked hard for. A fella came to me in 1980 and he said he wanted to buy 10 acres of my orange grove. He said, I'm gonna timeshare it. I said, what's that? He explained the concept to me. I fell in love with the concept. I didn't sell him the land. And I decided to build a timeshare resort in the back of my orange grove. I started building 16 units, which I thought was more than I'd ever need. And people started buying. We now have 28 resorts in 11 states. The three largest timeshare resorts in the world are all Westgate resorts. We are considered the Rolls Royce of the timeshare industry. They call me the Timeshare King.
In a photo, posing with a lion.
I have built one of the icon properties in Las Vegas. It's 52 stories of beautiful blue glass. At the last Miss USA, Donald Trump, he said, congratulations on your new tower. He's got one problem with it. He says, when I stay in my penthouse suite, I look out the window, all I see is Westgate. And he said, can you turn your sign down a little bit? I have the brightest sign on the strip.
Clients to a sales clerk.
We want to go to this. We want to go tonight.
But then we could set you up for the presentation tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We're going to do a walkthrough of the building, and then we'll have a light breakfast or lunch. In return, we give you guys show tickets to any of the shows listed here. You guys make over
$60,000?
Yeah. Yes. Are you married?
No.
Are you guys, you're a couple though, right? Of course.
Yeah.
A salesman gives a tour to a couple.
Now the top five floors of our building are like penthouse condominiums, full ownership. Sylvester Stallone, Bruce Willis, The Rock, Usher, those are some of the celebrities that own upstairs. This isn't just a celebrity wall of fame of who's who. This is David Siegel, our developer and owner. A lot of these are different charity events he donates a lot of time and money to. So that's a good thing. Let's go on out in the hallway.
Resort photos on walls.
This is South Beach, Miami. This is the lakes, which is in Orlando. This is Park City, Utah. This is where you guys are going to learn to ski.
Okay.
You know, the typical timeshare family will stay in a motel with two queen-size beds, small TV on the dresser, and one bathroom. When they walk into the room, the kids want to turn on their cartoons. The wife wants to watch her soap operas, and the husband wants to watch his football game or sporting event. They get up in the morning, they go in the bathroom, the wife goes in, steams up the mirror so the husband can't shave. They go out and we have a booth. And we said, well, if you'll spend 90 minutes and see what we have to offer, you can get free Disney tickets. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, they're lined up at my resort. As they're getting out of their car, the wife is saying to the husband, don't you dare buy anything. And he says, oh, don't you worry, they won't sell me anything.
You guys ready for the wow factor?
Yeah.
All right, this is our four bedroom. This is 2,382 square feet. Okay. This accommodates 14 people comfortably. You much of a sports fan? You got the choice of watching on the flat screen, or this is where the projector screen comes down.
And it just blows them away. That motel, if it looked bad before they came, it looks twice as bad after. And they all they do is dream about coming back the next year and staying at Westgate. We show them how what they're gonna spend on motels over the next 10 or 15 years, they can afford this timeshare.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you like the units?
Yeah.
Could you see yourself going back to renting regular hotel rooms and giving this up?
No.
Absolutely not. No. All right. If it were affordable, is it something you guys would consider owning today?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's go downstairs. Let me show you what it looks like on paper.
Everyone wants to vacation like a Rockefeller. We show people how they can. Everyone wants to be rich. If they can't be rich, the next best thing is to feel rich. And if they don't want to feel rich, then they're probably dead.
In my heyday of my shopping, I probably spent over $1 million a year. I have a $17,000 pair of Gucci crocodile boots. I have ostrich feather Gucci pants that are probably $10,000. I have a ton of purses. I think purses are a good investment. If you ever get into a bind, you can always sell them on eBay.
Of course, I'm just the opposite. I could care less about clothes or material things.
Their nanny, Marissa.
Mr. David is a well-disciplined man. He's my idol. He exactly knows what's going on in this house, every corner of this house. He monitors our bills for water and electric. Even if he earns billions of dollars, he knows exactly where his money goes.
A teenage daughter rummages through a freezer, then searches a second and third freezer. Inside the house, two boys ride Segway transporters, then play catch with a volleyball.
These kids, they are the king and queen of the house.
Two girls play with hairdressing sets.
I have 8 children, 7 by birth and 1 that I inherited. Having my children fulfilled me. When I was going through my modeling career, I didn't want children. First of all, I thought it would destroy my body. Then I couldn't stop having them. It was like an addiction. Or maybe it's because I finally found a husband that would make love to me.
David sits on his throne.
I changed a lot of people's lives. A lot of people are better off for knowing me. I certainly changed my 3 wives' lives. I brought wonderful children into the world. You know, I have 7 under 12. I have 6 grown children. I think everybody is better off for being either my child or my employee.
Rise and shine, Drew. We're leaving in 15 minutes. Rise and shine.
Marissa wakes a young boy in bed.
Rise and shine, Drew. Drew likes to stay in my room. Maybe he feels comfortable and safe in a small room. It's like my teddy bear at night. I hug him and, you know, gives me like I'm a mom, even though I'm not the real mom. I'm not my biological mother, but I feel like I'm a mom. Are you done, Drew?
In the bathroom.
Flush the toilet. Come on.
Sitting for an interview, a teenage daughter holds a mouse in her hand.
My name's Victoria Siegel, but I like to be called Ricky, and I'm 12 years old. I'm the oldest out of 7 kids, plus my cousin Jonquil. She's 16.
Jonquil is actually my niece, my brother's daughter. She was estranged from him for many years, and her mother passed away.
Jonquil swims in a large pool in the backyard.
Jonquil grew up in kind of a broken environment. When we got Jonquil down here, she had no clothes. She came down with 1 little suitcase filled up with these filthy, dirty stuffed animals that had never been washed, and dirty underwear. I said, tell me what your room's like so I can, you know, kind of decorate your room. And she said, well, my room's, you know, how she talks, like, the dirt room. I said, what do you mean, the dirt room? Oh, it's in the basement. It's got a dirt floor.
I remember one time she told me, like, she got, like, kicked out of her house or something. She had to, like, sleep on the streets one time with her mom, like, in a playground or something.
Now that I've got a taste of it, like, I've had a taste of dirt poor and a taste of filthy rich. Yeah, I like it. I mean, who wouldn't? Getting everything you want, but at the same time, I still want to, you know, be the old me in a way. I don't want to be, like, totally changed. You know, I don't want to be spoiled.
We used to be kind of snobby, like, at my birthday parties, I would get, like, a tiger, and I would, like, brag to my friends that, like, we have a pet tiger and stuff. And then I used to be, like, a brat to, like, my mom. But then, like, Jonquil came here and, like, I don't know, she's changed, like, a bunch of us. So, like, now we're just, like, I don't know, normal, I guess.
Nothing's really normal about this life. Like, you know, getting everything you want, having a huge house and another one in construction, having drivers, you know. It's like you don't really have to worry about money, but at the same time, you do.
The girls at a salon.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how about you?
I need to look like Miss Universe today.
Okay.
Do you think purple looks good in my hair?
And I'm in a big rush, so...
Okay.
We've got a Miss America party tonight, okay. So if you can make them look pretty for... We have all 50 contestants coming and Miss America.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
So they need to look like pre, like Miss Teen America's.
Jacqueline speaks on her phone while getting her hair done.
Get like 50 pieces of chicken nuggets. What do you guys want?
A couple Big Macs.
And a Diet Coke.
And a Diet Coke for her.
Okay, just get like 50 chicken nuggets and we'll share it with everyone in the salon.
I don't like chicken nuggets.
With all the sauces.
Back at the house, Miss America contestants arrive wearing tiaras and sashes. Gourmet food is plated, and fancy desserts are displayed on towering racks. David gives a speech.
We're proud to present a check for $25,000 to the Miss America Foundation.
Hey, did my stairs get shorter, or are these girls...
We only had 38 of them here last
year.
All of them are here this year.
Wow.
Women pose on the main staircase.
I love beautiful women. I grew up during the Miss America days, when Miss America was the most famous woman in the world. I used to actually get tears in my eyes when I watched Here She Come, Miss America. And I'm trying to do what I can to bring it back to where it was.
Okay, ready? David, here we go. Jacqueline, here we go. Big smile.
Katie Stone.
I got to talk with Mrs. Siegel, and she was telling me a little bit about her background, and it's kind of similar how my background parallels to her, because we kind of came from not very much, but something that I'm very proud of. I'm very proud of my background growing up on a dairy farm in a small town in Indiana, and now I'm Miss America. It just goes to show you that anything is possible, but not without hard work and dedication and passion for what you do.
She wants to get married and have babies. That's what she wants.
And does Miss America allow for that? Does it create opportunities for that?
Well, if she accepts my proposal, she hasn't accepted it yet.
As David leaves the room where she's being interviewed, Katie grins.
He is a hoot.
There's a downside to everything. Of course there is. My husband told me when I turn 40, he's going to trade me in for two 20-year-olds.
She's from Oviedo.
You're a tall one.
In Colorado.
Love Colorado. Love Wisconsin.
Wyoming.
Great state.
The kids come downstairs.
Hey, Victoria, can I get a picture of you and Miss America? This is Victoria.
A woman takes a photo of Victoria, Katie, and Jacqueline.
Thank you, Victoria.
Thanks.
David continues mingling with Miss America contestants.
Oh, what's wrong with being rich? Now, what would you rather have, a rich guy or a good-looking guy?
Some of the kids play outside.
Have you ever wondered what it was like to be like a fish?
Me?
Yeah.
Not really.
Drew falls.
I think we just lost Drew.
The party continues inside. David dances with one of the contestants. At a Las Vegas staff meeting, David's adult son Richard faces tables of salespeople.
Good morning, whiskey! Why are we here?
Save lives!
To save lives! And you thought you were just selling timesharing, didn't you? We sell vacations. Vacations are healthy for you. Do you believe that?
Yes!
I can show you the articles. And the studies. Those who take the fewest amount of vacations are most likely to have a heart attack. You're just like a doctor, a nurse, a fireman, a policeman, a lifeguard. They all save lives, and you all do it too. But we're not just saving lives. We're also saving marriages. Mom's on Facebook catching up with all the friends and relatives, and dad's going through the TV. Where are the kids? Playing video games. So there's a breakdown in the family unit. There's no communication going on anymore. Once a year, folks, take your kids on vacation. Get to know them. Let them get to know you again. Our number one person in Orlando owns several weeks of timeshare. You know, you should own at least 1 week yourselves. And if you don't, lie and say you do. Don't let these people leave here without buying something. Something. Whether it's big or small, make sure they buy something. Today, make a sale, save a life. Let's have a great day.
At the opening gala for PH Towers Westgate, photographers snapped pictures of showgirls, David, Jacqueline, and the Las Vegas mayor.
This is David A. Siegel Day in Las Vegas because he built the new icon on the Las Vegas Strip. This is the most expensive, the biggest, and the nicest that's ever been built on the planet.
I did not grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. I grew up very meager. I lived in a 1,200 square foot, two bedroom, one bath house in Indianapolis, Indiana. My father wasn't that involved with me as I was growing up because he was in business and had to make a living, you know, for the family.
Richard Siegel.
My grandparents were never wealthy, and the reason is that they lost their money in Las Vegas. You know, the casinos in Vegas aren't built with the owner's money. It's built with all the losers' money. My grandparents were Mr. and Mrs. Vegas.
Photos.
When they walked in to the casino, they were like, we got your favorite suite all lined up for you. We have those show tickets that you wanted. You wanted to see that new guy, Elvis Presley? We got your tickets for him. And Frank Sinatra, we got you in the front row. So basically, here's a nobody. But when he's in Vegas, he's a somebody.
Please welcome to the stage, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. David Siegel!
This building, I'm gonna dedicate it to my mother and father. My dad, he's looking down on it. He would be so proud.
David cuts the opening ribbon with a beauty queen. Richard.
I've set up all of my sales departments to copy what Vegas did for my grandparents years ago. And you walk in, you're like, wow, this place is exciting. 100% of the people that we're talking to are, it's not a nice word, but we call them mooches. They're coming in for a sales presentation on their vacation for a free gift. So we train our salespeople on how to take someone greedy like that and get them to buy today. We do 100% of our sales on the first day.
We don't really take many vacations because it's really, really expensive, but if we had something that would make it cheaper.
They will not buy today if they don't get a great deal, if they don't believe they're getting a great deal.
The total down payment on this is $2,090. It's a whole lot better than $25,000.
Yeah. We sell them as low as $8,900 for three nights in a studio every other year, all the way up to $149,900, which is a four-bedroom New Year's week every year, forever. Their entire lives, they pass it on to their kids pass it on to their kids. Timesharing, typically, you sell every unit 52 times because you sell it by the week.
Jesse, welcome to Westgate.
I can't believe you did it.
Changing your life.
We were in line to do $1 billion in sales for the year. Everything was great. We were on top of the world. All we were thinking about was adding more resorts and employing more people and growing the company larger. And it came to a screeching halt.
News footage of the 2008 Wall Street crisis.
We got a big problem.
At one point, the market fell over 700 points.
The day that left Wall Street reeling.
Alan Greenspan called it a once-in-a-century financial crisis.
September of 2008, when the financial system ground to a halt with the bankruptcy of Lehman and all the banks about to go under.
Wall Street is tumbling, Main Street is stumbling.
A lot of their customers are freaked out, waiting to see how low the Dow will go.
Banks lend hundreds of billions of dollars to home buyers who can't pay them back. Wall Street took the risky debt, dressed it up as fancy securities, and sold them around the world as safe investments.
My business depends heavily on easy access to cheap money. We sell our product for 10% down, and we take back a 90% mortgage. What we used to do was take those mortgages to the banks, and they would give us an advance. Well, unless we can turn that mortgage into cash, I can't very well pay my employees with mortgages each week. But the banks are frozen, as far as my business is concerned, and it's a struggle trying to find money to finance our sales. I don't think I would rank myself as a billionaire today. I would say it's touch and go right now.
Words appear, 4 months after the opening gala, the company that built PH Tower sues Westgate for unpaid bills. David Siegel is forced to lay off thousands of employees. Jacqueline visiting the Westgate Sales Center in Ocoee, Florida. A woman tours her around the mostly empty building.
So this used to be the employee store?
Yeah, it's the employee store.
Oh, no more store.
No more store.
Jacqueline speaks with an employee.
The reason they shut down the telemarketing is because there's no financing for the sales.
Just the banks don't want to lend the money.
People, you know? Yeah, people don't generally pay cash. Mm-hmm. It's like buying a car.
Mm-hmm. This whole side was day shift, and then the night shift, that would be filled up. So it was very lively in here. It was 2 days prior to Thanksgiving. Very sad. So, you know, spirits were high in here, and then, you know, half the people were called up to the front, and those were the people that were going to be let go. And then there was like 20 to 25 of us that were left. I mean, I'd never been in a situation or an environment where that many people have lost their jobs at one time. You know, I mean, the crying, you can imagine what it was like in here. It was almost like a funeral recession.
No, it's rough out there. When I looked in that room and just see all those empty cubicles, to think of how full of life that was at one time, and all those people that had families, and like overnight all those jobs were gone.
When you have 7,000 people less, you have a lot of empty space. They all had some place to go to work. So those same people that used to motivate me are now out of work and struggling, and I feel bad. I feel bad for every one of them. I've affected a lot of lives by what's going on.
Everything's for sale. Our planes, we have an auction company listing everything. We're not selling everything, but everything's available for a price. So hopefully we can figure it out.
News footage.
Got $100 million is burning a hole in your wallet right now, then you can buy the palace that timeshare mogul David Siegel already wants to sell, even though it's not even complete.
The largest single-family home under one roof in America.
It's bigger than the White House, and it could be an entire land at Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom.
It's a replica based on the royal palace of Louis XIV of the 17th century.
My dream house that I was building, it's about 50% complete. I finally had to list it and put it on the market to satisfy my banks.
It's the jewel of the United States. There's never been anything like this. This is a true visionary modern-day palace. And we all know that you can't go to France and purchase Versailles because it's used as a museum. So it's your own Versailles and your version as you see it.
Well, we're listing the house finished for $100 million. Unfinished for $75 million. We've got over $50 million into it, plus the land and all that. And the bankers want us to unload it for under $15 million. I hope they left a door open for us.
Jacqueline and the kids.
I can jump through a window, Mom. Don't.
At the unfinished house, Marissa the nanny is with them. They meet with Lorraine Barrett, a real estate agent.
So who likes the beautiful window?
I love it.
Yeah, that was over $250,000.
The window is an ornate and colorful dome.
Mommy, is that a lake?
That's the lake, yes. Look at all those spiders. Wow.
They head into the backyard.
So, Marissa, just think of the bright side. You might not have to clean this house.
Good. How are you?
Very good.
Yeah. Wow, this is just incredible. I'll tell you, it gives me goosebumps every time I walk through here.
You know, me personally, it's kind of an emotional day.
Well, of course it is.
This is our dream home, but you can't cry over things that you cannot change.
Back in the car.
Do you think that somebody's going to buy it?
I don't know. I don't know if they'll buy it or not.
Limo driver Cliff Wright drives through a luxury neighborhood.
Not that many people can afford that kind of house. And that $75 million range is not too many people. Even the ones that have money, Orlando would have to be the place they want to be. Tiger lives here still, a shack. And there's a lot of real estate people, orange juice families, and yeah, it's like feast and famine. I mean, some of these people have so much money all to do with it. They're spending it like crazy, and then the other ones can just barely afford to keep what they got.
Virginia Nabob, another nanny working for the Siegels, is interviewed.
Since I was young, I've been dreaming how I wish I could go to America. Every Filipinos, it's our dream to have our own house. Those Filipinos that was here, they have their families in the Philippines. And they have big houses. I bought a piece of land. So if God permit, I can go home. Maybe I will build a house for that piece of land that I bought. I need some money to go home. If you go without money, it's not easy. So I need to save some money.
Come on, let's go.
I still have five more tardies left.
It doesn't matter.
No, David. It's already 11 years. The children really attached to me. I really love them like my own. Since I don't have my family here.
She becomes emotional.
It's just that. The last time I see my kids, my youngest one, he's only 7 years old, and now he's 26. The Siegel kids, they always say, Nanny, I love you. One thing that I never heard from my children, so I'm happy for that. I miss them.
In the gym, the kids work out.
It's okay. I still have kids. The Siegel kids.
Jacqueline and Victoria work out in the family's home gym. Victoria has a tiny snake wrapped around her wrist as she casually rides an exercise bike. Jacqueline's on a treadmill beside her.
Hey, you need to go faster if you want to burn calories.
Victoria glances at the camera and continues biking. Later, Cliff has driven Jacqueline to McDonald's in a stretch limo. She gets in the back with a big takeout bag.
You want French fries?
No. I'll wait.
Jacqueline eats by herself in the back seat. She points out the window.
Hey, what's going on with this building? It looks kind of vacant.
It's all in foreclosure. It's a shame. This is a nice area. They built a nice thing here.
It's a pretty building. I heard there's like 65 foreclosures just in Isleworth where I live. It's kind of sad, you know?
Yep.
Cliff drops Jacqueline off.
It's changed a lot in the last 3 years. A lot of people don't like to be seen in limos anymore. I think it sends a wrong signal. When the times are tough.
Are you ready for your cheeseburger in paradise?
I met Jackie and David at a Little League baseball game. Our boys play Little League together.
She was volunteering behind the concession stand. A lot of people are afraid to talk to them. Yeah, because they're very powerful people. But they're just like everybody else. They're down to earth.
Hey, Drew. Do you know which field it's on?
Jacqueline and David at a Little League game. David's on his phone wearing earbuds.
You'd have to show me that. I don't follow you. But they're not funding me enough for Vegas. I will, look, when I
I'm at my son's baseball game, and it's, when it's over, I'll call you back. Hey, hey.
Their son is pitching for his team.
Go ahead, Drew. One more strike.
Come on, Drew.
Is that cute or what? I want to see a house finish so bad.
What do you think of that dome?
It's like from the Vatican.
With the sun shining through, it'll look like jewels up there.
You know, I paid cash for the house and then put a mortgage on it and put the money in the company. Just like with the house that I'm in now, why have an asset that doesn't have a mortgage on it when you're using money to make money?
I bought you a lottery ticket the other day.
That's a waste of money.
Not if you win.
Ugh. Another day. Jacqueline takes the kids to Elmira, New York, on a commercial flight. They enter the busy airport.
Come on, Drew. How was it flying commercial?
The first time I took the boys on a commercial plane, they said, Mommy, what are all these people doing on our plane?
Okay, now we gotta get a car or something, right?
Yeah.
They head to a car rental counter in the airport.
I'm in Florida. Why are you here?
I'm coming here to visit some friends and family that I haven't seen in like over 10 years, some of them maybe 15.
Are you from here?
Binghamton actually, but it was cheaper to fly here and I'm on a budget now. And what's my driver's name?
I'm sorry?
What's my driver's name? Oh, it just doesn't come with a driver? It's included?
There's no driver, no. Sorry.
Later they arrive in Binghamton.
Oh, here's the bath.
They visit Jacqueline's old friends.
I got my kids. I can't wait to go swimming and stuff. Oh, I miss you. Thank you again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good seeing you.
Jackie and my granddaughter Beth became very good friends. I think everything that happened to her is unusual. I don't know anybody that married such a wealthy man. Jackie worked at a diner and did very, very well in school. But engineering back then was kind of unusual for a girl to do. But I figured, well, she was smart, so that's what she wanted to do. The first marriage was a big mistake. Not, of course, at the beginning, they didn't think so. But I think as time went on, she had many serious problems.
I was in a marriage to a man that became more and more abusive. He started to hit me and stuff like that. And then he gave me a scar across my face. He says, now you can't make your own money. And I went to the hospital and he went to jail that night. And the next morning, I just grabbed as many of my modeling pictures as I could. I mean, that was my whole life. And some clothes, and that was it.
The kids play in a pool. Jacqueline and her friend wave small American flags in their bikinis. Some kids jump on a trampoline.
Come on, kids. Come on, come see where Mommy grew up. Come on. I want to show you where I grew up.
The kids follow her to a little brick house in a suburban neighborhood.
Oh my God, look how big those trees got. There she is.
An old neighbor.
I knew they were building a house, but that's all I knew about it. And it was unbelievable. I mean, who in heaven's name has a $75 million house they're going to sell? And it isn't even done. My husband had all these Xerox copies made of this news clipping, and I gave it to everybody. We went to a party Saturday night, and all my neighbors that were at this party, they now have a Xerox copy of all this, because I thought they'd be interested in it, and they are. Well, the American dream is raising way up above what you started with and achieving something way beyond what anybody would dream that you would achieve. And that is exactly what she has done.
Typical middle-class America just wasn't going to make her happy. She wanted to do something really exciting and really big.
Tina Martinez.
Hi, kids. Come on in.
I miss Jackie a lot. Everywhere she was, I was, and everywhere I was, she was. Everyone would ask, where's your other path? And that's how it was all through high school. It was supposed to be that way after, then we made different choices in our life. She decided to go to college, and I decided to marry my high school sweetheart.
Tina, I know, I am so impressed. It's a beautiful home. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
No, it's like a dream come true.
I would be lying if I didn't say I envy her life to some extent. I mean, there's a lot of things in the world that I'd like to see, that I'd like to do. I've never owned a new car in my life. If I didn't have cash to buy a car, I didn't have a car. I never had a car payment. I don't own a credit card.
So how do you guys think you could do in a house this size?
I would love to have more money, but I don't know that I would want that much because my dreams don't even go that big.
Words appear. Tina fell behind on her mortgage payments, and her house went into foreclosure. Jackie sent her $5,000 to save it. Back in Orlando, Florida, a sign outside of the Westgate Resort's office reads, "For sale by owner." At a management meeting, Richard Siegel.
What about the for sale sign on the front of the building? Have you had a lot of inquiries about that?
From the team members, you mean?
Yes.
No, after they got past the auction.
Yeah.
That was a little bit scary.
The for sale sign is.
So when we put up the foreclosure sign, that's going to kind of. We had all of our non-core assets put up for an auction, and we only sold like one or two things. You know, a hotel, which was valued at $20 million a couple years ago, we sold for $8.5 million. And so the auction was a flop. David Siegel, he is spending all of his time looking for money still. Every day, all day long, weekends included, he is looking for money to keep the Vegas project going. He's been to Donald Trump's office a couple times trying to get help. He's gone to Dubai and Switzerland. We're looking for about $400 million. So any of you that want to write a check, we'll pay you back in a few years. Basically, we spent $660 million to build it, and right now we owe about $240 million. So we have over $400 million into it. You know, we don't want to walk away from that money, obviously. He will tell you that the lenders are pushers. They got us addicted to cheap money, and once we were addicted, they took away our money. And now we're addicts. We have to have that money in order to maintain the company that we built.
Employees on the phones.
Yeah, my two-bedroom deluxe.
Yes, ma'am, I am aware of that, but
my father's all about quantity. He wants to take any deal. I don't care if they give us $50, take the deal. Our customer is the Walmart customer, the Johnny Lunch Bucket. You know, your $40,000, $50,000 people.
For even a cruise, for up to.
When this first started, we were taking anybody that was breathing, if they had the down payment, we would write them.
Our lenders basically said, you're selling subprime to people that really can't afford your product.
I was actually calling in reference to your, looks like you were set up at the Westgate Town Center, and your account's on the. Obviously, it's on the default list. I don't know if you were having a hardship or what happened, but.
Entonces, va a ser $1,000 para la fecha de hoy.
To see what we could do and be able to help you out with this dilemma that you're going through.
Back at the Siegel home, the staff are cleaning. Housekeeper Wendy Ponce is interviewed.
One morning, everybody, we walk in and they give us the bad news. They had to let people go. Altogether with the nannies, there were 19 people. And now it's just with the nannies and myself, it's just four people, and it's very difficult.
The house is a mess. One of the nannies picks up dog poop off the floor.
The nannies are working more now. They're working around the clock.
Jacqueline picks the kids up from school.
Okay, here's the school.
We've cut back everywhere we could.
Hi, children.
Kids were in private school. They're now in public school.
Debbie, get in the back.
Have a nice day.
Ma, you only serve a detention on the weekdays, remember? For two consecutive weeks. What is the explanation why you get Saturday detention for 3 hours? Why?
I don't know.
Why? I told them that they might have to go to college now. They might have to actually make their own money. And that's kind of like, I mean, they're realizing that now. That there might not be money there for them, you know? So I said, start thinking about what you want to be when you grow up.
There are various animal tanks around the house with snakes and fish. Jacqueline checks on a tank on top of a dresser.
Have you fed the lizard here?
No, because nobody takes me to the pet store.
He hasn't eaten at all? Oh, I feel so bad he hasn't eaten.
Why do you feel so bad nobody takes me to the pet store? I always
look, he's starving. Look, he doesn't even have water.
Okay, but that's because they never take me to the pet store.
All right.
Like, I always ask Marissa and Rich, and they're like, no, I'm too busy.
All right, I'm going to go get a piece of turkey.
Jacqueline returns with food. One of the younger girls is tapping on the lizard's tank.
I can't believe you guys don't feed the lizards.
He's not moving.
He's not moving?
I don't know if he's dead.
Did you kill him? You got to give him water, too. Oh, you guys killed him.
What?
You killed him.
I know. I apologize for being such a horrible person.
Oh, Debbie.
He's not my pet.
David, look. He's dead.
I didn't even know we had a lizard.
Nobody would take me to the pet store, ever.
Well, he didn't even have water.
It's not like that would have made a difference.
Maybe he died of dehydration.
I apologize that I'm a horrible person.
I didn't say you're a horrible person.
Well, you're making me feel like one.
Jonquil rolls her eyes and shrugs as Jacqueline leaves her room. A dead fish floats at the top of another tank. Richard Siegel swims with his son in a backyard pool. He's interviewed about his father and shows old family photos.
Yesterday, you jumped right in.
My father's first wife is my mother. They were married in 1961, and they divorced in 1968. Now, my father was paying my mother child support, but even when he had millions, we were poor. I mean, I even remember getting swamp cabbage for us to eat for dinner. However, we were the best-dressed kids in school because every year my father would give us money to go clothes shopping. So we always had great clothes, but we had no money. Finally, my father called us one day and he said, would you like to come live with me? And that was in 1980. And I said, yes. I didn't even think twice. Yes. That first year in Orlando was one of the best years of my life. They had a housekeeper and they had a cook and they got a chauffeur. They bought a limousine. That summer, before I went into my junior year, my stepmother said, I've already raised my kids. I'm not going to worry about your father's kids. So you all need to move out. I never held a grudge against my father because even though I only lived with him for a year, he still paid for me to go to boarding school. He still paid for my college and gave me a car. My father and I aren't close on a personal level because it's always been a business relationship. When we talk, it's all about business. We're father and son, employer, employee, but we're not close.
David works in his office.
Work is my life. I'm 24/7. And I don't know any other way to do it. I'm a victim of my own success or failures.
In a photo, David and Jacqueline pose with President George W. Bush.
The company and myself was the same thing. So whenever the company was signing on the dotted line, they wanted my personal guarantee, my signature, fine. Everything I had was in the company because I'd never taken anything out of the company.
His desk is covered with stacks of files and various papers. Nighttime at the house. One of the dogs has made a mess of garbage on the floor. Jacqueline finds Wendy in the kitchen.
Wendy, you're the only one working out of like 25 people. Okay, I guess I'm the chef now.
Jacqueline tries to help.
Okay, now what, Wendy? Now, what's our next step? Corn? Almost done. Is that?
She checks the chicken.
No, he likes it, like, crispy. Hey, how was the baseball game? I never would have had so many children if I couldn't have a nanny. When I grew up, I didn't know there was a such thing as a nanny. So I figured I'd probably have one kid and then maybe two. But then when I found out I could have nannies, I just kept having the kids. I mean, they're just bundles of joy.
One of the younger girls holds onto her ankle as Jacqueline pulls her down the hallway.
Wendy, let's do it like a proper dinner.
Can we just sit together like a nice family? Okay.
Fine.
Right over there. Oh, they're crying. Just tell them it's a princess party.
One of the boys reluctantly makes his way to the dining room. He sits and lays his head down on the table.
Drew, come here. We're trying to get Daddy's dinner ready. We're going to do a surprise for Daddy's birthday. We need everyone. It's Daddy's birthday.
A little dog rushes out of David's office. The door is slightly open, and David paces inside.
Okay, now, can you go get some plates and, like put them around?
Jacqueline hands her young daughter a stack of dishes. The little girl carefully brings them to the dining room and sets them on the table. Back in his office, David picks up dog poop off the ground. The kids wait for him around the table. Jonquil is on her phone.
Yeah.
Hurry up, Dad.
Jacqueline checks in on him.
Hey, honey. How long are you ready?
Ready for what?
To come out.
I'm not coming out. I got work to do. You ain't come out. Yeah.
Turn the bathroom light up.
David watches TV and reviews paperwork. The room is a mess, with stacks of papers and boxes everywhere. Jacqueline lingers for a moment before leaving. She takes the little dog out of the room with her and grimaces as she shuts the door behind herself.
He's under a lot of stress. Daddy's gonna be in a better mood in a couple minutes.
The kids play around the house as dinner sits untouched on the table. A clock reads 9:04. David finally emerges from his office.
Let me go wash my dirty, filthy hands. Ooh, and so I can sit on that dirty, filthy seat. Yuck.
The family finally sits for dinner.
Why is this night different than any other night?
Because we eat at the table.
David's on his phone.
Nobody is crazy enough to build a building that size and that expensive. Unless they have a guaranteed market. They just think they're doing us a favor by letting us be there. They don't seem to understand.
Happy birthday to you.
By not taking any money off the table, I'm at the mercy of the bankers. They say jump and I say how high.
No. I think he's humbled. My husband's humbled. Which I kind of, like it, actually. What would you wish for in the last 25 years of your life? Besides me, of course.
If I have to live to 150, that's what I'll do, you know, if that's what it's going to take to get back on top again.
Those aren't edible candles.
The unfinished mansion, surrounded by unkept grass and filled with empty boxes. Words appear, Versailles has been sitting on the market for 7 months.
Right now I just need to sell it. And, you know, there's not too many buyers for 90,000 square foot houses at that price.
Jacqueline visits the Siegel storage facility.
Oh my God. Oh, I just want one picture. And can you take a picture with my cell phone? This was gonna be in our spa in our big house.
An employee snaps her photo.
David's barber chair. It's a beautiful chair, isn't it? I picked out so much stuff over the years. It's like been 10 years in progress. The majority of it is probably French to go with the theme of Versailles. These things over here is all from the genie bottle from the Aladdin Hotel, right here. What do you call it? The eggs from Russia? Fabergé eggs. But look, I got the giant ones. If we do sell the house, then we probably would auction it off, but we're gonna wait and see what happens. You know, I'm fine with it. I married David for richer or poorer, and if we, I wanna use some of the antiques now. So I'm kind of picking some smaller pieces that could fit into our current home. I know there's like a superior source or something that's guiding us in the right way.
Later, back at home.
David, Daniel, can you help me get some of your old toys that you don't want anymore so I can donate it? How about stuff like this? I mean, are you guys using this backpack?
No, that's a backpack. What time is it now?
Well, if I could afford a watch, I would tell you.
Wow, you can afford that jacket and your iPhone.
Jacqueline is wearing a fancy fur coat.
Oh, it's such a
jacket. I hope it's not doggy caca. Oh, is it?
Yeah. That's why I hate having so many dogs.
I've been up and down in my entire life. I mean, I've been married before and I didn't have to worry about anything. I was making tons of money modeling. And then I was poor again. I've been cocktail waitress. I mean, I even, in the nursing home, I used to clean dead people and prepare them for the morgue. Oh, for $3.35 an hour.
Jacqueline visits Thrift Mart, a large white warehouse store.
This building used to be an old, like a Home Depot type of store. My husband bought it years ago, so I thought this would be a perfect opportunity. I could raise money that I could give back to the community. I bought some of the inventory from hotels and stuff, like the old microwaves and things like that. And we get donations. All this and this over here is my personal stuff from the house. It's the stuff that I've donated with the bankers just not funding the company anymore. We were forced to lay off 6,000 people, and the bankers made us do it. So, well, they're probably going to get mad at me for saying that, but that's what I've heard, and that's what I understand. Most of the people here are Westgate employees. I just felt it was a way that I could really do something to help people in a desperate situation that don't deserve to be there. $30 brand new. We got them from the same vendor that Macy's gets them from, $79.99 at Macy's. Here's my dressing rooms. Should I put curtains up or not? Just even like that. Yeah, curtains? I have evolved from being someone who just went out to charity lunches all the time and went shopping to wear something to the charity lunches to actually doing something more in my life to make a difference.
She speaks on the phone.
Hey, Tina.
Hi, how are you?
Good, I haven't talked to you in a little bit.
I know, been a while.
Hey, that money I sent you, was it able to save your house?
No, it was not.
It didn't save your house?
No, I talked to the mortgage company and, you know, I was all excited saying, okay, I got the money that you told me I needed to pay you. They run it through their system or whatever and he says, no, sorry, they won't take that.
Oh, my God.
And I only owed them $1,700 to begin with.
Unbelievable. So you actually lost the house?
Well, it's in foreclosure. They're not going to let me stop the foreclosure.
On the Siegel property, the sun shines through the trees and down onto the large sprawling fenced-in yard during the Christmas season. Cliff Wright, the driver, gets in a shiny Rolls Royce that's parked outside of the house.
Well, Jackie's a friend. They help me with a lot of things. You know, occasionally I have a wedding that somebody wants a Rolls Royce, and I'll borrow that so the bride can go to and from the church in the Rolls Royce.
My wife's working double shifts, and I'm doing as much driving as I can. We didn't even put our tree up yet.
I got into the limousine business when I saw the real estate wasn't doing that well. And that's the only thing that kept us afloat. I had a good job in New York. I worked for a commercial real estate company. And we moved down here for a better life for the kids, and you try to keep going and make more money and buy more houses. And all together, we had about 19 houses. My net worth was probably about $3.5 million. Now zero.
He cleans the car's windows.
Everything changes. Within a month after the bankruptcy court was finalized, the lawyer told me we had to be out of the house, and we moved in here. My friend's rental. It happens pretty fast, but, you know, you survive.
His son on a computer.
Did you get a donut? It's hard going back to renting. No?
Yeah, I got one.
But you can see there's nothing on the wall, so it doesn't really feel like it's your house. It humbles you a lot. Family and health and the kids are the most important thing, and friends. You know, you can get by without owning a house. You can't get by without friends and family. No, that's the most important things.
Now, one of the Siegel's nannies, Virginia.
This is my palace.
She enters a tiny home.
This used to be the twins' playhouse, but they don't use it, so I used it. Yeah, and it's good to have this. Like, when it's too noisy in there, just run here, quiet. I asked Jackie if I can use it, and then she said, are you serious? Yes, I am. This is the bed. I'm using this. But then I folded it, because when you get in, it's all over here. You cannot get in through. I love this place. And I'm so glad Jackie gave it to me.
She has a few meager personal belongings on a shelf.
My father wanted to have a house, like a concrete one. I promised him before I left that I'm gonna have money, then we can do that. We can build our own house. Before that happens, he passed away. I'm supporting not just my children, my brothers, my sisters. All the money that I had, as I'm sending it to them. My father, his dream to have a concrete house, it never happened. But then he had a concrete team, and that's his own house. So maybe that's still good for him.
Tears well up in her eyes. Virginia exits the tiny home and shuts the door behind her. She walks up the driveway toward the main house. Back in Las Vegas, Richard Siegel tours the MDPH Westgate sales office.
David Siegel said, do not touch anything in that room. I don't want a chair, a table, a copier, a computer. I don't want anything taken out because we will be reopening. And here we are 7 months later. Everything has stayed the same. Well, this was my office. I wish I could turn on the lights, but they shut them off to save money, I guess. The lenders kept trying to get us to stop sales in the building, which we wouldn't do. And finally, they were so mad that he kept doing it when they said not to, that they laid the law down and we had to stop sales of this building. This is where we sold at least $100 million a year and we could do up to $200 million a year. And now it's just empty. The reason that they wanted us to stop sales is that they wanted us not to pay them so that they could go and foreclose on the building, which they have already done.
There's a miniature model of the property in the office.
I almost feel like the bankers are like vultures, like circling around, waiting for the animal to die instead of helping out the situation.
No one knows that this building is being foreclosed upon. If our owners found out, we would have a mass exodus in our hands. They would be stopping payments. All of our people in our company are paid by those monthly payments. So we live and die by those monthly payments.
A suite is shown unfinished and empty. The view overlooks the Vegas Strip.
I really don't understand the financial community, especially when they get all that money from the government. I thought that rescue money 2 years ago in September of 2008 was supposed to go be passed on to the common people, or, you know, us.
Jacqueline and the nannies take the kids to shop at Walmart. Jacqueline fills several carts with toys and gifts.
She knows we need to cut back, but it's difficult for her. She's still compulsive. Where she slows down one activity, she accelerates another one.
My husband all the time tells me not to spend money. He says if I keep spending, then he's going to shut my credit cards off or just not pay him. And he says he might not have the money to pay him anyway, so it might not be either of our choices.
Marissa tries to put things back.
Wait. I got Daniel.
Daniel needs a lamp, not that one.
No, I need all the perfume and stuff.
For the stocking stuffers. The boys like this. For the stockings. And for Bear. You know how Bear likes to walk around with something in his mouth? You're taking everything out.
After paying, they bring the carts to their vehicles outside. They load the vehicles up, piling the shopping bags to the roof. They fit everything in like a puzzle. Some stuff falls out of place.
My wife collects everything. She can't have one bird, she's got to have a dozen. Can't have one dog, she's got to have a dozen. Can't have one child, she's got to have seven. So, what can I tell you?
Oh my Lord.
Back at the house, they unpack.
Okay. Excuse me, get down. Oh shit. It's okay. Yeah, that's for Drew.
A new bike.
That's too small.
Marissa passes through the garage on her way inside. There's a pile of bikes that look as though they've been thrown away and are no longer used.
Oh gosh.
She heads inside with an armful of bags. The garage is filled with things that the family seem to no longer use. Nighttime. The house is decorated for Christmas. The family is about to host a holiday party. Jacqueline blow dries her hair. David speaks to Marissa as she rushes to get everything ready.
I can't believe we don't have a bartender. Who's coming over to serve the food? Or?
Is there any bartender?
No.
How do you do?
Tenille. Good, thanks.
Tenille, okay. Yeah.
Everything organized here.
Her makeup.
Honey, you got people coming. You're not even ready. They're arriving.
Give me 5 minutes, then.
Hurry up.
I don't want David to buy me any Christmas presents. I don't need it. All I want is, you know, just for us to be happy together, get along, and I want to see our family and our friends with smiles on their faces.
Jacqueline wears a red dress.
Nothing makes me happy these days. I'll be happy when I find a solution to this. I can't separate business from personal.
Richard arrives with his family.
And here is the hostess with the two mostess. Grandma. Here's Grandma.
Grandma.
The toddler tries to get away from her.
Give Grandma hugs and kisses. If I could have anything that I want for Christmas, I would say $300 million. To take care of what we have in Vegas, and I will be just fine after that.
Marissa, you need to put the Rudolph costume on. Here, I'll come help you. Come on.
Okay.
You gotta hurry. Everyone's arriving.
Yeah, well, I don't know why they didn't set up a bar.
No. All right, should I send my mom in here to help me? Because I gotta go get some Christmas
presents. I don't need help.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right, because I got too much to do. I don't have enough help.
This is a pain in the ass.
Marissa puts a reindeer costume on.
I really miss having a manager that does all this stuff for me.
Marissa's costume has a giant head with antlers and a shiny glowing red nose. She dances in the mirror.
Let me just open it. Rudolph the... had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you could say you'd give me a Merry Christmas.
Realtor Lorraine Barrett and Cliff Wright and his family arrive to the party. Marissa emerges from the washroom. David speaks to Cliff.
Oh, Rudolph is here! Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer!
Something's wrong with
you. Hey, you got the key to my Rolls?
No.
Did you drive it?
I brought it in and personally handed it to Jackie.
Then they came back in and they said the lights were on and they...
Yeah, and I went back out. I turned them out.
And I never saw the key again. Did you use it?
Yeah. We did a quick wedding.
Did I get paid?
Absolutely.
Who'd you give the money to?
Jackie.
You didn't give it to me? I never saw the money.
This is where the key is.
I never saw the money.
Well, I always drifts off now at this time of year and stuff, but it'll pick up and stuff.
Must have been.
We're going to sell David's house. Oh. Everything will be fabulous.
Company.
Rudolph bows. Her costume head falls off.
Now the loan comes due. I'll pay you the interest like I'm doing now. And they said no. So now I send a third party to go see how much they'll sell that loan for. They wrote it down, 11. They sold the loan to the third party. They didn't know I was involved. $3.2 million.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm getting it back.
What a bunch of idiots.
So I'm going from owing $18 million for $3.2 million. I mean, that's why banks are in trouble. Who the hell's making those? I mean, I'm glad they did, but who's making those decisions?
I love you, too. Merry Christmas.
Sweet. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Honey, let's go. Everybody right. Out. It's, you know, right. It's almost all getting late.
I love the movie. Merry Christmas.
Okay, tomorrow.
Our life is definitely more challenging today than when we first got married. I tried to put blinders on and do my thing, but it's there.
Okay. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you in the morning. The stress has actually made us closer, stronger. And I think, you know what they say, when you're down is when you find out who your true friends are.
One of the little dogs has jumped up onto the fancy coffee table in the living room. He eats the leftover party food that the guests have left. Christmas morning. The property is quiet except for the calls of a white peacock, spreading its wings in a fenced enclosure in the backyard.
Where's all the kids clamoring for their toys?
David's in his bathrobe. One of the boys has a bowl of oranges.
Hey, where should I put these?
Next to Daddy. Wait, I lost Baby's puppies. I need to find it because the python will eat them. Eat the puppies. Oh, my God.
Are her puppies lost?
Yeah. Puppies! Chandra. Since it's your snake going around the house, can you help me find the puppies?
All right, I'll look for them.
Do you get strength from your marriage?
No.
David grins at the interviewer.
Not really. It's kind of like having another child.
Oh, I found it. Look. Oh, my God. They're like trapped in the corner here.
Jacqueline holds two puppies. The kids start opening presents.
I don't know where to pile my puppies.
I'm putting mine over here. Maybe you can put yours like right in the center.
You set the puppies.
I got the crystal growing thing.
Jonquil.
When I lived in New York and I would see rich people on TV, I'd be like, wow, you know, their lifestyle must be nice. Like, if I lived that lifestyle, I would just wake up every day with a smile on my face. But now that I do, it's like I wake up now and it's just I'm used to it. And then it's like you want more and more.
I got another Yahtzee. I got another baby.
Good morning, Victoria. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
Daddy. Gotcha.
Yes.
Mom, you want
to help? I got Monopoly. What am I going to do with Monopoly?
Well, actually, I gave you these gifts like 5 years ago, but the kids were too young for you to play with, so I'm re-gifting. Because you never opened
it. Risk? What's risk?
Yeah. That's a great game. That's when you take over the world.
We're not the typical family, that's for sure. And, I don't want you to get the impression that we're penniless, but we're going through a very difficult time. Our lenders, I mean, they have cut my paycheck. My CFO said, well, that's not enough for him to make his mortgage payments on. And so one of them lenders said, well, then let him move into an apartment.
Look what I got. It's a present to myself. Oh, I just can't wait to eat my caviar. How much is this, like $2,000? I don't even know. Oh, it's going to be so good.
Whoever got you that's going to get fired, I'll tell you that.
The kids continue to rip open their gifts.
If the company fails, they may have to go to work and not be able to go to college or get a college loan or No, I haven't done put anything aside.
He unwraps a big Hershey bar.
This is for my mother who isn't here today. When your grandmother was on her honeymoon, she was on a train going to Chicago, and she asked my father if he would buy her the Hershey bar, and he said, I don't have a nickel. And so ever since, every birthday, I got her a Hershey bar. She said, if she's not here to eat it, I should eat it for her. So I'm gonna eat it for her. Thank you, Mom.
Marissa cleans up as they unwrap. Richard Siegel speaks.
On my wedding day, my father gave a speech, and he looked at my wife and he said, you will never have anything to worry about in your life. We worry every day. Everyone in this company has had not one pay cut, two pay cuts, three pay cuts. We've all taken big hits. I went to him last week about money. You have to give me some money. I need money. And he said, I would give it to you if I had it. I can't give you anything. So right now I'm applying for a home equity loan, and I just upped all the limits on all my credit cards.
Vegas is what's causing our big problem, and the bank's answer to a solution is just hand us the keys and give up the $390 million that you put in it. And my answer is over my dead body.
Richard and the VP.
I mean, he told me, I'm not giving it up. If I have to bankrupt it, I'll bankrupt it.
That's what David said to me, too. And I said, David.
And then Michael said today, your dad's going to go down with the ship.
That ship's not going down.
He bankrupts that. They're going to stop funding the rest of the company. The company goes.
No, they won't.
Because they have too much to lose.
That's correct.
This building is much more important than building the largest house in America. He has built the largest timeshare company in the world, and this is the pinnacle of it.
It'd be a real shame, though, to actually lose it.
If they use every method they can to try to get the building back, and at the 11th hour, I bankrupt it. And buy time. Time is what I need.
If he throws this building into bankruptcy, then he risks the rest of the company because our lenders are financing the rest of the company. They have made it very clear to my father that if he turns over the keys to the building, that his company would become a cash cow. They would continue to finance it. He wouldn't have to worry about anything, and he would go back to life as normal. He can go back to building his house, flying in his plane, buying other resorts. He'll have more money than he knows what to do with if he turns over this building. Everyone is against him trying to keep this building. I've had arguments with my own brother who screamed and yelled at me, what are you doing to this family? What are you doing to this company? How can you support him? All of his people, his attorney, his closest friends, his executives, all turning against him. He's the one that made a lot of people a lot of money. If he says he's going to continue to try to keep this project, then I'm going to continue to support him. And right now, him and I are the only ones standing alone.
Richard's ordered dinner and eats alone in one of the suites.
It's amazing. I think when you first started filming this, we were on top of the world, building the largest home in America. Everything was wonderful. No worries in the world. If I remember, you said, why am I building that large home? And I think I said, because I can. A lot of things have changed in the last 2 years. So this is kind of like a reverse of a rags to riches story. This is almost like a riches to rags story.
Jacqueline is on her phone as a doctor works on her face.
Okay, no more texting.
Hello?
Oh, Jacqueline.
Good, I'm at the doctor's.
Tell him you'll call him back.
Let me give you my, okay, I'll call you.
The doctor is performing a laser procedure on Jacqueline's face. Jacqueline squishes a stress ball and winces in pain.
Okay.
A thick layer of cream is applied to her face afterwards.
Got it?
Raise the brows again and then relax them.
The doctor is inserting injections in her forehead.
A little injection. Good.
It's kind of embarrassing for people to see me looking like this. I was just going to go and hide in the bedroom for a few days.
She applies cream to her face.
I'm having a hot flash right now. My face is burning.
One of the young girls scratches a lottery ticket.
What?
Debbie, you got a winner.
It's a buck.
Well, a dollar's better than nothing. Oh, I'm teaching my kids how to gamble. That's terrible. Such a young
gambling.
Age. This is gambling, Debbie.
Tickets.
Huh?
It's scratching off tickets.
It's gambling that you're going to win. And usually you lose.
Jacqueline walks toward the front door, which has been left open. David enters.
So what do you think?
A little dog follows him inside.
Maybe I should go with the zebra instead of cheetah. What do you think, honey?
I love it.
David is carrying a box, walks past her and heads for his office. The little dogs follow him. Jacqueline follows too. He pushes her away as she goes in for a hug.
If it ain't broken, don't fix it, is my motto.
But it was broken.
It wasn't broken.
No, and you...
I don't want to kiss you.
You told me.
I don't want to kiss some old hag.
You told me when I turned 40, you traded me in for two 20-year-olds. And because I had the Fraxel...
I'm waiting for you to be 60 so I can get 320.
David sits in his cluttered office. He watches TV with a dog in his lap.
I got some good prospects for getting some money. It would probably be... my greatest achievement, besides having all these beautiful children, would be finding the money. I'm on a quest. I want to spend all that money.
There are boxes piled up all around him.
That I'm going to make in Vegas. I want to buy my yacht and my plane. But you can't never get back the 2 years that I've lost looking. I feel like almost like a guy is in jail for a couple of years. You know, you never get that back. The big house, you know, I really don't want to sell it. So I don't care if I haven't had any bites. I want to really finish it. If I don't sell it, I'll keep it. Finish it. Right, Bibi? We're going to... go live in there someday, aren't we? I'll live there and Jackie can stay here, okay? Just you and I in that big house. How about that, Bibi, huh? Just you and me.
A dark sky looms over the unfinished Versailles home. Nighttime at the Siegel's current home.
Every light in the house is on.
Victoria.
I've noticed that my dad's been, like, a lot more stressed out lately. I never really spend time with him.
Maybe you ought to go look at my office and see all the crap that's on the floor in there.
Versailles, is in default with the bank.
What does that mean?
It means that they started foreclosure. But we'll work it out before... we lose it. We'll figure out a way to keep it.
Jacqueline carries David's dinner on a tray. She walks it into his office.
So do you want to have dinner in the kitchen or you want to have dinner in here, honey?
I want to have dinner in here.
Why in such a bad mood? I mean, all of a sudden, I talked about it this... I talked about it this morning and... Is it because the front door was open when you came home?
You know what? I'm not going to pay the electric bill this month. When they shut off the lights, then you all appreciate electricity. I'll take everything for granted.
I didn't know the front door was open. Honey, maybe you need to get a better hinge on the front.
Maybe you should become aware of your surroundings.
Well, we have like 100 doors in this house.
You didn't know all the lights were on either.
They weren't all on. All right. I'm helping Victoria. I'm teaching her how to make, like, the shepherd's pie. Do you mind if I do that with her? Can I at least have a kiss?
No.
You're mad at me just from the front door?
Jacqueline leaves the office and closes the door behind herself. Victoria pushes past her and walks in on her father.
Here, I'm going to help you make that shepherd's pie, Victoria. Why are you going in there?
Everyone
else in the bathroom.
She made
your dinner.
She brought it in
for
you, and you've been so rude.
Why don't you learn to turn off the lights?
I was upstairs in my room the whole time.
How would you like to live without electricity?
I was in my room the whole time. There's so many people in this house, and everyone's in it. Okay, because that's right when I went down to make the shepherd pie, the dinner that I'm making for you and the family, and you're being rude to everyone.
Victoria and Jacqueline leave the office and head to the kitchen.
Do you ever feel like sometimes you just want to spend like the whole day in bed? And then when you work and everything, you can't? I think that's probably how he's feeling right now. You know, just kind of wants to escape. And I don't know what happened yesterday. Victoria, it's not about sticking up to him. When people are mad, like Daddy just was.
Can you not lecture me right now?
You know, when you're frustrated, it's the people that are closest to you that you take it out on.
I tell my mom that a lot, that she needs to stick up to him. She thinks that that would just cause a bigger problem, but I think that could, like, resolve the problem. Because I think sometimes my dad just needs to, like, be told that, like, I don't know, he's not, like, the only one who, like, matters in the house.
Marissa speaks to Jacqueline.
How you feel when he's mad? How do you deal with that when he's mad? How do you cope up?
I know it's nothing that I did. So, I mean, I can deal with that. I mean, if I'm at
He's not mad at you. He's just like... It's like, why is this, you know? You just want to say something.
And it wasn't even me, so I know I wasn't the one that left the door open. I wasn't the one that left the light on.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think my dad married my mom as, like, a trophy wife, maybe, to, like, show her off, because she's, like, really pretty. He doesn't act like he loves her, the way he, like, treats her and stuff.
No, just tell him how much you love him. I mean, he needs to know that.
Jacqueline to her son.
He had a bad day.
Hi, Dad.
One of the boys enters David's office.
Hi, Dad.
Hi.
Love you, Daddy.
He just wants to say he loves you.
I love you.
Thank you. If you love me, you'll turn off the lights when you see him on.
Yeah.
Well, we try, honey.
David walks on a treadmill in the home gym while watching TV.
And we'll certainly be watching his candidate forum tomorrow. With me today, Michael Gerson, former speechwriter for President George W. Bush and a columnist.
He sits for another interview. A makeup person dabs at his face with a little square of paper.
Are we getting near the end?
Yes, we are.
We need to live within our means. Don't spend money that we don't have. Don't spend money that we think we're gonna eventually have. Spend what we do have. You know, get back to reality.
I never expected to live here. I never expected Versailles. I never expected private jet. I hope we can stay here. I'm looking around now. It's like... Better start taking pictures, huh? For my memories. And no, I don't think we're gonna lose our house, but who knows? You probably know more than I do, right? You spent like an hour and a half, 2 hours with my husband this morning. Like, we don't talk about financial problems. I guess I'll have to watch the movie, right, to find out what's going on in my life.
Well, if I could turn the clock back, there'd be a lot of things I've done differently. Instead of having 28 resorts, I would have had 15 resorts.
I kind of wish he never took the mortgage out. I mean, we owned all the land and we just built the house. I guess he was going to use that money for Las Vegas.
It's a vicious cycle. No one is without guilt. And I'm the same way, you know. They were giving me cheap money, and I was using it to build big buildings and buy more resorts. And then when they stopped giving me the money, I'm suddenly, whoa, how do I pay for all this? Okay, this could go on forever. Can we wind it up, please?
The sky is dark and cloudy over the unfinished Versailles home.
I didn't know the house was in foreclosure. I didn't know this whole process was going on. I didn't know we stopped paying the mortgage. This is all news to me. I didn't know.
The pool is filled with dirty water.
I kind of wish that I was more involved, because I'm not a stupid person, but when you don't have the information, it makes you look stupid. And without the information, I mean, what can I do, you know? I guess I'm in this fantasy world, you know?
She shrugs.
Until reality hits. But I have faith.
She blows a kiss up to the sky. The sun is setting through the trees.
I'm here through thick and thin till the day we die. And that's the only way that I would ever leave him, is if I died, you know. If we had to buy just a normal house, like $300,000 house, 4-bedroom house, I would be fine with that. Make it work. Just get a bunch of bunk beds, you know.
She stands on the grounds of her current mansion.
I do enjoy this view here. I mean, this is so peaceful. I almost think I would love just to spend the rest of my life here. I think this is, you know, wonderful, having my private island.
She walks up the long driveway toward her house with the giant pillars out front. As fireworks erupt in the night sky, words appear. Bank of America scheduled an online auction to sell Versailles. David Siegel borrowed $1 million to delay the auction 6 months. He hopes to find the money to keep the house. David could not find an investor for Las Vegas, but decided not to bankrupt the towers. He sold a controlling interest in the towers to Resorts Finance America on November 21, 2011. The Westgate sign was turned off the next day. End credits. Directed and produced by Lauren Greenfield. Produced by Danielle Renfrew Barons. Executive Producer, Frank Evers. Executive Producer, Dan Kogan. Co-Producer, Rebecca Hornblack. Co-Executive Producers, Allison Amon and Lisa Melling. Julie Parker Bonello. Abigail Disney and Pierre Hauser. Patricia Greenfield and Jerry Grossman. Lily Hartley. Meta Heidi. Patricia Lambrecht. Jeffrey Tarrant. Director of Photography, Tom Hurwitz. Music by Jeff Beal. Edited by Victor Livingston. Sound recordist, Michael Jones. Additional editing, Brian Johnson. Adam Parker. Additional photography, Shauna Hagen. Sarah Levy. Lauren Greenfield. Still photography, Lauren Greenfield. Field producers, Rebecca Hornblack. Julie Frankel. Associate producer, Jasmine Chang. Presentation reel producer, Molly O'Brien. editing facilities provided by Pivotal Post. Post-production facilities provided by Chainsaw. Sound editing facilities provided by Tonemaster Studios, Copenhagen. Post audio facilities provided by Anarchy Post. Sound re-recording mixer, Pete Horner. Equipment provided by Video Equipment LA and Orlando. Canon USA. Coffee Sound LA. Hollywood Rentals Orlando. Additional credits continue to roll. Queen of Versailles, LLC. All rights reserved. Logo, Evergreen Pictures.